Our gospel reading comes from the book of Luke, the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 14 through 21. And it reads, "Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread throughout all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled it and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord.' And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes were upon him in a synagogue, were fixed on him. Then he began to say, 'Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.'" The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I come to you today with a sermon that asks a peculiar question. Are your body parts misbehaving? I expected more people to laugh behind that one. In the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, the Apostle Paul teaches us a valuable lesson about how we as individuals relate to the body of Christ. And here's what it says. "For just as the body is one, it has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body. So it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot were to say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need for you.' On the contrary, the members of the body are seen to be weaker, are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less reputable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, given the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no decision within the body, but that the member may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffers together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and individual members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership of various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? are all teachers? Do all miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. And as Paul completed this, in summary, when we reflect on this passage, we are taught that each of us has a role to play as a part of the body of Christ. And the role that each of us play is as important as each other's part. And when we do not function properly, the body then falls into a state of disrepair. And once we begin to fall into that state of disrepair, that's when the body starts to misbehave. We see this quite often in two particular parts of the body. Now, going off script for just a little bit, some of us are thinking that when our body misbehaves, it's because things are flaring up. Like, for example, how many of us had a little bit of time getting started this morning when we got out of the bed because of arthritis or some other thing that sort of slows us down? I'm raising my hand because I'm a fellow sufferer. And yet, those body parts are not the ones that we're talking about misbehaving. For you see, beloved, the body parts that I'm referring to are two in particular, the ears and the mouth. Amen? These two body parts, the ears and the mouth, when left unchecked, have been known to misbehave in ways that cannot be corrected by an ear doctor or a dentist. With all due respect to my friends who are in the medical profession, these are times when I have to go over your heads. I have to go to somebody who knows how to treat misbehaving mouths and ears. Going beyond what a medical doctor can do, I need to go to a specialist. Someone who knows how they work, someone who knows what they were originally designed to do, and someone who knows how to bring it all back into conformance so that the body will then begin to behave. And so it's with that we move forward to see how we can make that happen. Beginning with our Old Testament scripture, in the book that we read from Nehemiah, what we have here is a perfect example of what we're talking about. The people of Israel, after just having been released from captivity in the hands of King Nebuchadnezzar and the army of Babylon, they went out and were told by God, go rebuild your lives. Go get settled in. Become a great nation once again. But as they were moving in, settling into the place that God brought them back to, their ears began to misbehave. What they heard, overshadowing the word of God, were people around them saying, oh, this is only temporary. You're going to be back in captivity soon. You're going to be slaves to the Babylonians once again. King Nebuchadnezzar is not going to let you get away with this. And so as they listened with those misbehaving ears, picking up all the wrong messages and all the wrong symbols, they began to live their lives in fear. They began to do all kinds of things to protect themselves with the hopes that they can keep away from all the bad things that had happened. And yet, God told them, don't worry. I freed you. I've given you a new start. Just do what I say. But they weren't hearing that. All they heard was, we got to protect ourselves. What if they come again? They're going to get us. And so, knowing that this is what they were going through, God called Ezra, the priest, to send a message to the people. And it says that Nehemiah and Ezra gathered the people of Israel into the square at the water gate. And Ezra approached the podium, opened up the book of the law of Moses, and he read it to them, teaching them the word of God plainly and in a way that they could understand. He didn't preach over their heads. He didn't preach in a condescending way to make them feel bad or ignorant or uneducated. He gave it to them in a way that they could hear it and receive it and understand it. And as the words were proclaimed, they finally got it. Their ears began to behave. They heard the word of God coming through, overshadowing the words and the warnings and the threats of human beings. They realized that God was the one who was truly in control of their lives and their situations. And once their ears began to behave, they heard all of the good news of the gospel, the good news of God. And they responded by saying, "Amen, amen." And then it says they lifted their hands and then they bowed their heads and then they worshiped God. And then reality kicked in. They realized that by allowing their ears to misbehave, it caused their bodies to misbehave, and that misbehaving of their body caused them to take matters into their own hands instead of trusting God. And the scripture then goes on and tells us that reality kicked in and they began to feel bad about what they did, about not believing God, not trusting God, and ultimately rejecting God. And as they hung their heads in shame and began to cry, God, being the loving God that he truly is, didn't condemn them. God didn't punish them, nor did God make them feel any worse than they were already feeling. Instead, he told his prophet to give them this other part of the message. And he proclaimed, Ezra said, "This day is a holy day of the Lord your God. Do not weep, do not mourn, but go and eat, celebrate, drink sweet wines, and send portions of it to those who haven't prepared. For this is a holy day of the Lord. So do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And while, beloved people of God, their ears were misbehaving and listening to the things of the world, things that were not true, the people of Israel were actually miserable. But once their ears began to behave, just a simple hearing of the good news of God was enough to brighten their lives, to make them feel alive again, to restore the joy and to lift them above their misery, their fear, their sorrow. When they finally understood that the joy of the Lord was their strength. And with the Lord's strength as a part of their lives, they could face anything. Beloved people of God, this is what happens when our ears are misbehaving. We hear all the wrong things. But I have to say this, just like we began our message, we also have to hold that other body part accountable as well. For our mouths are just as guilty on occasions. For you see, just as we began this sermon, and our ears are not the ones to bear all the blame, our gospel lesson teaches us in Luke that the mouth also has to take some responsibility for our bodies misbehaving as well. In response to the misguiding messages that were being proclaimed by the teachers of the synagogue for the people to hear during Jesus' time, Jesus heard these things. He watched how the people were walking around in sorrow and miserably suffering. And having been filled with the Holy Spirit, he began to teach in the synagogues. Jesus went to deliver a message, a positive message, an uplifting message, an encouraging message, to help the people of Israel who had been discouraged because of the mouths that had been misbehaving and delivering bad messages to them. And as Jesus went to the synagogue on one Sabbath, and he took the scroll, and he stood up, and he proclaimed the following words: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and has caused me and anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The scripture then goes on and says that after he finished, he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant. And while all eyes were upon him, as Jesus walked back to take his seat in the synagogue, Jesus said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." While the teachers in the synagogue were using their mouths, misbehaving mouths, in a way to control the people, to keep them sad, to keep them in a place of depression, to keep them in a place where they can control them and manipulate them and use their words to make people subservient to them. Jesus said, through the word of God, you are freed from all of that. And as Jesus proclaimed those words from a mouth that was behaving, from a mouth that was designed to uplift and not tear down, the people heard those encouraging words and their lives began to turn around. Beloved people of God, where are we today? Are our body parts behaving or are they misbehaving? Are your ears misbehaving by tuning in to all of the things that people are saying? Are your ears tuning in to all of the things that make you feel bad, that put you down, that make you feel less than the person next to you? Or are you able to hear beyond that, ignore that, and hear the good news of God that tells you that you are loved and that the joy of the Lord is my strength? And or, what is your mouth doing? Is your mouth behaving or is it misbehaving? Is it misbehaving by spreading rumors and gossip and lies and discouraging messages about other people? Or is your mouth sharing the good news of the gospel, a word of hope, a word of joy, a word of love to those who need to hear it most? I challenge you. I challenge all of us today. When you leave here, examine what your mouth is saying. Examine what your ears are listening to, what you're tuning into. And I challenge you, if by chance you discover that either one of those parts of your body or both are misbehaving, I encourage you to go to the one who has the ability to fix it. Go to the specialist. Go to God in prayer and ask God to give you guidance, directions, instructions on how we can get those ears and get that mouth in check so that at the end of the day, we can share the good news and hear the good news. And so it's with that, church. I leave you with that. But allow me to give you your first bit of good news to share. Repeat after me. When all seems hopeless, I look to the Lord, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. Does anybody believe that? Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you so much for allowing your joy to be our strength, your words to be our encouragement. Lord, we ask that you continue to bless each and every one of us. Help us to help our ears and our mouths behave. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.